Milligan family singing, blessing our heart, a beautiful song, He Keeps Me Singing. This is an old holiness, Pentecostal group, man, his wife, two sons, great family, and they will bless you. Oh, I wanted to have them here in Charlotte. One of these days they'll be here, I'm sure, if Jesus tarries. What a song. Now, I'm preaching today here on the internet, Satan's Defeat, Heaven's Point of View. Satan's defeat, heaven's point of view. I want you to know the devil is already on a lease. He's out on bail, but he's soon to be incarcerated for eternity. He's soon to be judged and cast into the lake of fire. And every saint of God is going to have a part in that great event on that great day when Satan is put away forever. He'll be bound 1,000 years during the millennial reign, but then he'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. What a story. The Bible is so full of truth, and it all harmonizes so beautifully. I never figured out how people get off the beam, how they come down against a pre-trib rapture, how they get all messed up about the 7-year tribulation period and about some kind of post-millennialism like the church is going to set up the kingdom. No, Jesus is going to set up the kingdom. And what a day that's going to be. Well, let's pray. Father, let this message break through like a storm today, and let it be a blessing to multiple lives. May your sweet Holy Ghost and your presence be rich and real and mighty, and may lives be blessed in a marvelous way. I claim it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you don't want to miss Open Bible Dialogue on Saturday. We're doing a study on the 7-year tribulation period, the dark 7 years, the great tribulation is called. You don't want to miss that. You got to learn. But what is so important is you've got to get ready for that rapture. I woke up at 3:00 this morning, burdened for people who are not ready for the rapture. burden for people who are not ready for the rapture. Just carrying them on my heart. And you, many of you listening to me, may be part of that group. I don't know. I just know He's coming. And if you're not ready, you're not going. If you're not living a godly life, born again, washed in the blood, by the grace of God, born again into a new life, filled with the warmth of God's sweet Spirit working in you, God's will being done, a crucified, sanctified life, then you're not ready to go, and you're not going, and you're going to be left, and it's going to be the saddest day in human history. I want to give to you a gift this week. I'm going to make this available all weekend for the next few days, a gift on Left Behind, Can You Still Be Saved? Left Behind, Can You Still Be Saved? It's a booklet, and it's free. And all you got to do is email me or call our office, 1-800-338-7884, and we will give it to you. We would love for you to have it. It's too late to play games. It's time to get right with God and live a godly life, humble, set apart, pure before Him. May God's blessings be with you, my friend. Walk with Him and serve Him and live for Him and do His will, and you'll be blessed. And you listen to Open Bible Dialogue now. I want you to hear it this Saturday. Very, very important. Very, very important. Every Saturday, 1 p.m., it's live right here on the Internet worldwide. All you got to do is go to the front of our website, www.paulcreek.org. Over on the right, not quite at the top, you'll see a link to the live broadcast, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. You miss it, then it's archived. It's live, but archived. And up in the left-hand corner, you'll see an Open Bible Dialogue link. You go there, and it will have the latest, and then right on down through the weeks past. And you'll be blessed listening to these broadcasts. I got a call last evening, from Anchorage, Alaska. A precious lady who listens to our Internet and called to give a gift and to the ministry and help us keep on keeping on. That's very important. I got to have friends. I need about 1,000 more partners to help us do this Lord's work. Would you be a partner? Call today, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. If you're local, 704-391-0588. I want you to be a part of it. Now, I'm preaching today, and this is a very important sermon. I want you to be blessed by it. I will be blessed if you are blessed. And I will not feel blessed if I don't feel like you have been blessed. That's how I feel about it. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. So I pray that you will be. I'm preaching this Sunday. I'm preaching this Sunday on absolute assurance you're ready to go. Absolute assurance you're ready to go in that rapture. You've got to have that absolute assurance that you're ready to go in that rapture. Don't play games with it. Don't take some preacher's word. You take God's word. You let the Bible speak to you, not some man. And you do what that book says. And I promise you, you will be ready. I love you, and I love you much. We're going to go to the sanctuary to hear the word of God. I believe it will bless your soul. So go with me in the name of the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. See you in church Sunday if you live nearby and you can come. I'm ready to preach this morning as God may help me. His word, His power, His anointing is what I'm utterly dependent upon. Standing together, the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. This is really a kind of special sermon. As you know, I've been preaching on from heaven's point of view. From heaven's point of view. And the sermons that I preached in this series have really been enjoyable to me. They really have. I feel like they've been special. We've been having good response for them from Internet. And we just want to touch a multitude of people for His glory and for His kingdom. We really do. And there's nothing more wonderful than God's work. Isaiah 14, we'll begin reading with verse 9, if we might. I'm preaching this morning on this thought. A picture of Satan's defeat from heaven's point of view. A picture of Satan's defeat from heaven's point of view. In other words, as heaven has determined it. As heaven has shown us the view of it.
as heaven has laid it in front of us. Isaiah 14:9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Now notice that text, talking about the devil, talking about Satan. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? They're talking to the devil. This is a prophecy. This is a picture of what God is going to do in defeat of Satan. Satan is on a very, very short leash. Satan is on a very, very short leash. Satan is soon to be judged and eliminated from any effect or ability to touch God's world. What a day that's going to be. Thy pomp, that means His glory, is brought down to the grave. And the noise of thy vials, thy music, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the north. I'm sorry, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? God reduces Satan in this text to the likeness of a man, to the weakness of a man, to the complete judgment as of a man. God gives us a picture. He said, I will ascend. God says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. He says, I will be like the Most High. He says, they that look upon thee shall narrowly see thee. He says, I will rule the world. God says, all the kings of the earth will say to thee, art thou like one of us? Satan says one thing, but God says another. Hallelujah. Would somebody lift your hand? And let's ask God to help Brother Chambers to preach this morning about God's view, heaven's view, heaven's view of Satan's defeat. Father, in Jesus' name, you're going to help me, Father. And this congregation is going to be affected. And I claim that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I preach this morning, if you will listen and not miss a word, I hope nobody has to go out a minute, not a moment, and miss part of a sermon. You don't understand, when you miss a little bit of a sermon, it's almost impossible to recover and to get it all in focus as it ought to be. And I don't want you to have to miss it. I want your life to be affected by what God is saying in His Word. Let me tell you something. The only hope for this nation, the only hope for the culture of this day, is the truth of God's Bible. The truth of God's infallible Word. This book He has sent to heal us. This book He sent to save us. This book He sent to sanctify us. This book He sent to give us victory that we might overcome. And to understand Satan from a biblical point of view, a heaven point of view, is a marvelous victory for your life. If you understand the devil rightly, you will no longer fear what this world may do unto you, or what the future may hold for you, or what may come tomorrow or down the road in weeks and months to come. But you will come to faith, and a lasting and incredible faith, if you understand what God has said concerning Satan. Satan is already defeated. This is an Old Testament passage. This was written about 2,500 years ago, and Satan was already defeated. 2,500 years ago, Satan was already a joke. Satan was already on a leash. Satan was already facing a day of his complete judgment. Hallelujah. And you need to understand this morning that Satan can yell at you, and Satan can cast doubts at you, and Satan can scream his fears at you, and Satan can put things in your mind and in your thoughts that make you afraid and even weak and even confused and maybe even depressed. But it's all a lie. It is not the truth. Satan has been defeated. And Jesus was that ultimate defeat of Satan. Now, let's look at this passage just a little bit. Not much. Then we're going to move on further into the Holy Bible, Revelation 12. But let's look at this passage. Hail from beneath is moved for thee at thy coming. Now, you need to understand that Satan is as good as in hell. He's just not there yet. And Satan is conscious of his ultimate judgment, that he will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Satan is already conscious that he's lost. And if you will look at the many ways he fights with people, and the many ways he affects people, and the many dark things he does to people, then you would know that he knows that he's defeated. But he's determined. The Bible said he's a liar and the father of lies. Satan has no ability to tell the truth. Satan does not ever tell the truth except in a deceiving fashion. Every little truth that Satan ever tells is crouched in a lie. It's covered with a falsehood. It has behind it all kinds of lying efforts and deceiving purposes. He has many wiles, and he's a trained strategist, and he knows how to fight. The devil has 6,000 years of experience in trying to find ways to destroy men and women. Satan has 6,000 years of learned strategies to know how to come at you and come against you. Oh, he is trained. He is capable. But all of it is a lie. All of it is a falsehood. All of it is contrary to truth. All of it is losing battles. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Would you slip a hand up if you understand this? That Satan is a liar. All kinds of things he says to people. I won't try to stand here and tell you of the many things I've heard through the years that Satan had put in people's head that sounded so pliable, that sounded even plausible, that sounded as though they may have come from what you would think to be wisdom. But yet inside of them, behind them, under their wings of pretty words, was nothing but deception and destruction. Oh, the devil does it constantly. I'll guarantee you, every time you've ever been defeated, every time you've ever found yourself in a state of spiritual brokenness, every time you've ever found yourself losing the spiritual war in your life, you can trace it back. There's something you said, something you heard, something that somebody shared with you. No wonder David said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You remember that? The first words of Psalms, Psalms division 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who doesn't listen to people that don't know God. Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to people whose wisdom comes out of books. Blessed is the people who don't listen to people who think in their unsaved condition and would give you wisdom about your life and anything about your life. It doesn't matter, from the home to the church and all between. Satan is a liar. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because the devil is out to fill our world with words of deception, with words of confusion, with words of negativity, with words of doubt. Oh, the devil is the very power of doubt. How he loves to make people doubt. How he loves to come against you. He wants to do anything. You see, the devil's ultimate purpose is to take God off his throne. To pull God down. To put God out of business. To move in on God's territory. And to set up his own kingdom. And his own. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come on now, listen to me carefully. The devil's business is to take God down. To remove God from his throne. To replace God. And in his stead, he says, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Hallelujah. The devil is seeking to replace God. The devil hates this Bible. You're talking about a power against this Bible. Got an email yesterday that said you are just a literalist and called me a stupid, ignorant, unlearned. I think there was about 4 or 5 adjectives that he called me. And a bigot. And all of this he said because I believe the Bible is a literal book. He said, you're a literalist. That was his words. You're a literalist. And I thought, hallelujah, I'm a literalist. How many of you believe this Bible? Let me see you raise it up like I'm raising mine up. You believe this Bible. You believe this holy book. You believe this holy word. It's the infallible truth of God. That's right. Hold it up there with pride, with joy, with excitement. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The devil can endure the wisdom of the learned. The devil can override the great words of the man with pretty speech, but he can't deal with the holy book of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a liar and the father of lies and is out to destroy you. You get in here and live in the literal pages of this book. I'm telling you, the real problem of the church world today is they've forsaken the literal word of God. People like to say, well, I don't think that means that. What right do you have to say something don't mean something if it says something? Amen? The Bible is the literal word of God. So here is the warmonger whose name is Satan. The warmonger whose name is Satan. You can mark it in your book. Every dark thing, every ugly thing, every mean thing, every vicious thing, every fear, every feeling of depression and brokenness and, you know, every time you sense that everything's falling apart for you, every time you feel like the enemy is coming against you, you've got to recognize that's the devil. That's the devil. Nothing of beauty comes from Satan. And nothing of evil comes from God. Would you say that with me? Nothing. Come on together. Nothing of beauty comes from Satan. And nothing of ugliness comes from God. Hallelujah. God is perfect. His words are pure. Everything about God is pure. Everything about Satan is ugly. Everything about Satan is... God has said it. Oh, this book makes it plain. God has said it. The devil is a liar. And the devil is defeated. The devil is on his way to an utter defeat that shall be overwhelming. Now go to the book of Revelation, and there's so many verses. The Bible says very plain that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what the Bible says. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. When you get in a battle with somebody you work with, When somebody you work with is making it tough for you. When things are just not going right. When things are messed up in your own personal life or in your home life, don't you ever accuse the persons and the people of being themselves the source of that. The devil is the source of that. Everything we battle with, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, dark things and high places. Now, the book of Revelation then gives us the opposite picture from that of Isaiah. Isaiah shows us his might and his power and his brag. Of course, Isaiah also tells us he's defeated and he's going to be judged. But Isaiah shows us a devil who is doing his best to ascend into the very heights of the clouds and to take God's place. I don't think most people today even want to, they don't even want to understand there is a devil. Did you know when you say something about the devil on the internet, people call or email you like they think you're crazy? Just because you believe there's a devil. How many of you believe there's a devil? Let me see your hand. Come on, raise it high. Do you really believe there's a devil? If you don't, he's got you just where he wants you. I mean, nothing he likes better than being a cockroach in a corner without you seeing him and knowing what he is and knowing how he operates. So, we must understand. We must understand that Satan is powerful, but not all powerful. Satan is wise, but not all wise. Satan is spiritual, but not true spirituality. Satan is everything that an angel could be, except he's fallen, and he's in depravity, and he's on his way to destruction. Understand that. Now go to Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at a war that's about to happen in heaven. Now, this really is a spectacular part of the book of Revelation. A spectacular part of the book of Revelation. Verse 7 says, "And there was war in heaven." Well, I'm acquainted with war down here. How about you? I'm acquainted with war among even sometimes my friends. You acquainted with that? I'm acquainted with war in my family. Yeah, I'm acquainted with that. Most of you are too. Everywhere you look, there's war today. There's war in the economic world. It's pathetic, the economic condition of this nation. There's war in the educational world. I read almost every day of another school that told a child they couldn't pray at some event. That told a child that was doing a speech, you can't talk about the Bible. You can talk about anything else, but you can't talk about the Bible. There's a war in the educational realm. There's a war in every part of society around us. There's war going on, but here we read in the Bible, and there was war in heaven. It seems like that's the last place for there to be war, is in heaven. It would seem that we're in war down here, but surely heaven is not in war. Well, this war hasn't started yet. It will not start until after the rapture, when Jesus comes to get the bride, the saints, takes us to heaven. Then the Bible says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels." Now, listen to me carefully. This has got to be the most spectacular war that has ever, ever occurred. This has got to be one of the events that you and I ought to have a good understanding of and a good grasp of. If we're going to talk about the devil from heaven's point of view, then we got to understand that there is a plan. This is a prophecy. This was given over 1900 years ago. John probably got it about the year 90 A.D., which would have been about 60 years after Jesus was crucified. And John got this prophecy, and he said there was war in heaven. Well, that war hasn't occurred yet. There are certainly skirmishes in heaven. You can go back in the Old Testament, and you find Daniel praying. And Daniel had prayed for, I think it was 30 days, and still hadn't heard from God. Maybe that was the time he prayed for 10 days before he heard. Maybe I believe it was. And he hadn't heard from God. And the angel showed up with the answer and said, I was on my way, but I had to fight with the spirit I don't remember for sure the name. But he had to fight with a spirit, an angel in the heavens. And he said, finally, they sent another angel to help me. And so I could come through. So there's been skirmishes in heaven. But now, all out war between here and God's throne. And it's about to occur in heaven. Now you say, why would there be war in heaven? Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan's kingdom is up there somewhere. Satan rules in the heavens. The heavens, not God's heaven, but in the second heavens between the first and the third. Satan rules. He's the prince of the power of the air. You wonder why sometimes there are these horrendous storms? You wonder why that there's such devastation as the tsunami that we remember in the east? You remember that? You know the brokenness, the hell of it. Where did it come from? The prince of the power of the air. You remember Elijah was praying in a desert place one time, and there came a storm, and the Bible said God wasn't in it. There came a whirlwind, and the Bible said God spoke and said God wasn't in it. But then there came a still small voice, and God was in the still small voice. So you can find plenty of this in the Bible, but here is an ultimate war. Here is the final war. And the Bible said Michael, how many know of Michael the archangel? There's Gabriel, and there's Michael, and we believe that probably Lucifer was an archangel before he fell. We don't know that. That's just speculation. But we know that Michael is an archangel, and he's a mighty angel. I want you to know that Michael is a mighty angel. And Michael leads a great army of angels. Hallelujah. I tell you, every once in a while, I sense I got an angel helping me. You ever feel like you got an angel helping you? How many are depending on the angels to help you? Let me see your hand. Raise them high. You have a right. You have a right, Mommy, Daddy. You have a right. Every one of you have a right to call on angels. Oh, I kid you not. And so here's a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels have gathered their forces. And there is Lucifer, the devil, and his angels. And they're fighting. Hallelujah. And so the heavens is just flooded with a war. I almost wonder, we'll be up, the raptured saints will be in heaven, and the earth will be in preparation or already in the process of the 7-year tribulation period. And you wonder how much up there we'll see and how much those down here will see. I would suggest those down here will be the main spectators at this war in the heavens. I imagine that you'll be able to look up and there will be a sense of those angelic beings warring with demon spirits, the angels of Lucifer. And the Bible said there was war in heaven. The dragon fought against Michael and prevailed not, the Bible said, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Hallelujah. Whew, do you understand what the Bible is saying to us? Do you understand that our old enemy is on his last leg, as I said earlier? Do you understand that the devil doesn't have much longer? He's already lost. Just a matter of the final, final defeat. So here's this war in heaven. Michael and his angels, the devil and his angels. The devil loses. And the Bible said there was found no place any longer for Satan and his angels in heaven. Now what's sad? The great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil. I hope you've got this reason. Revelation 12 now, verse 9. Called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Deceiveth the whole world. The whole world is under the devil. Satan is the god of this world, the Bible said. And so he deceived the whole world, the whole earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, you think I'm loud. I'm not loud. I know, to sometimes our thinking, I may be. But you wait till that loud voice rings out in the heavens. I mean, rings out to declare the glorious and marvelous victory of this war that's taken place in heaven. Oh, listen to me now, church. Listen to me. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. Who accuses, which accused them before our God day and night. Here's a picture of Satan that most people don't ever think about. The devil is accusing us before God day and night. The devil still has the sense to talk to God. He was one of His great angels. He was a great musician. His songs and his music was melodious. He could woo the angels of heaven. That's how he probably got a third of them to rebel with him. Is he sung them into rebellion. Just like the rock music and the mess music of our generation is singing this generation into rebellion. The devil and his musicians and his music sung that generation of angels into rebellion. Do you understand? Well, he's the accuser of the brethren. He goes to God. He says, Marlon Clark is not what he claims to be. I've been watching him and keeping up with him. You know, and he makes false claims against Marlon. He makes false accusations against Marlon. He does that for Joe Chambers. He does that for every one of you. He is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses the saints of God. If you could know what the devil has said to God about you today, it would startle you. If you could know the things he says to God about every one of us, the accusations of, do you know he accuses you to others? When you're sitting in church and you look across the church and there sits a certain man or woman on the other side, and when you look, they're looking kindly in your direction. And he says, they don't like you. They've been gossiping about you. Or he says to you about your wife, or he says to you about your husband, some old negative thing, some old ugly thing. Maybe there's a little truth. The devil will take any little thing that you give him in your careless life, and the devil will use that to accuse you, and accuse you to God, to accuse you to one another, to accuse you all around the church house and among the families. The devil is after little snippets of anything he can get. That's why you don't ever gossip. That's why you don't get on the phone and put somebody down. That's why you don't get involved in negativity of any description. It's because the devil is catching your words. The devil is watching. Oh, he's powerful. He's not all powerful. He's not almighty. He's not omnipresent. He can't be at all places, but he's got a lot of demons helping him. And they're reporting to him what you're saying, and your gossipy talk, and your negative thinking. And the devil's doing his best to come against you. He's out to destroy you. He's out to pull you down. He's out to cut you down. He's out to make you feel gloomy and sad and negative. He's out to fill your head with stuff that has no validity. But he's a liar. Raise your hand up and say it with me. He's a liar. Come on together. He's a liar. He's out to defeat. He's out to deceive. He's out to destroy. But Jesus is the victor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus is my overcomer. And by Jesus I shall overcome. Glory. Oh, church, listen to me. But the Bible says, now is come salvation. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. But you don't want to miss the next part. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For the devil has come down. Having, and I'm not quoting, I'm just remembering, the devil has come down. Having great wrath. He only has a short time. He knows his time is short. Oh, I tell you what. You look at what the devil is doing today. You look at the schemes and the things that are happening, and you can understand. You can understand, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Verse 12 says, therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. This is verse 12, Revelation 12, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now this event will happen after the rapture, this war in heaven. And at that point, the devil knows he has but a short time. And so, with great wrath, yesterday the radio program, I did it on what the devil is going to do to believing people after the rapture. He is going to hunt down the believers washed in the blood after the rapture. He's going to hunt you down, if you're here, like an animal. He's going to slay you and butcher you and molest you and kill you and destroy you. You missed that rapture. You missed that rapture that's coming any moment. It could be this morning. Did you know Jesus could come before I finish this sermon? How many believe that? He could come before I finish this sermon. And I'm going to tell you, after that rapture, Satan is cast out. He comes down, having but a short time, knowing that he has but a short time. Now, how much will the devil know about the short time he has? Will he know that he has a short time to win? That's how he seems to fight. He goes into this dark period of the 7-year tribulation with an effort that is so evil and so dynamic. And he comes, he produces an antichrist, he produces a false prophet, he does everything he can to win. But the Bible says, in the end, he loses. Now, I saw an angel, chapter 20, come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit. Shut him up. Set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years is finished. Hallelujah. It's on my soul, me choir. I wonder how many in this building will slip a hand up. Just slip a hand up. Do you understand that this victory has already been won? Do you understand that we are fighting from victory, not to victory? I'm not trying to get the victory. I got the victory at my backside. And I'm moving toward the glorious triumph of that blessed day. I know without one shadow of a doubt that Satan has been defeated. And that Jesus has won this war. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? Jesus has won this war. Jesus has won this battle. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for the shout that follows the final battle. Glory to God. I wish you'd stand with me. Hallelujah. Satan's defeat from heaven's point of view. Satan's ultimate defeat from heaven's point of view. I want you to know that Jesus has won for you. Now listen, as I close, please understand, the victory is totally in Jesus' name. Raise your hand and just say, in Jesus' name. Come on, leave it up there a little bit. In Jesus' name. Matt, the devil hates you. Ginger, the devil hates you. Doris Barrow, the devil hates you. I'm not going to call every name I could. The devil hates you. Precious family, I love y'all. Couldn't say the last name while it was. Portis. Forgive me, please, brother and sister Porter. I'm very sorry. The devil hates you. The devil wants to defeat you. The devil would like to take this man that served God, what, 30 years, 35? He'd like to hang his carcass on the wall of hell and say, I stole him from the Paul Creek family. I stole him from his position of holiness. I stole him from his joy and his triumph in the Lord. I've come close to crashing this week over a preacher that I mentioned Wednesday night that's in a sad state right now. Pornography. Long-term pornography, I've discovered. Eaten at the fibers of his being for years. Eaten at the fibers of his person for years. And finally, he become bold in his sins. I don't know whether there be rescue. I pray they will. The Holy Ghost has been showing me exactly what has to happen for him to be rescued. And I'm fixing to communicate it to him. Because the devil wants to make you one of his trophies. He wants to have you, or would he like to have a Andrew Hill and say, I got Reverend Joe Chambers' grandson. And I'm going to make mincemeat out of him and use him for my dark deeds. He ain't going to do it, Andrew Hill. But he'll try. How many, do you understand this? How many understand this? Let me say it with all I can say it. Jesus has won the victory for you. You don't need to win the victory. It's already been won. Somebody help me shout, will you? You don't need to win the victory. It's already been won. Jesus has won the victory. You can't win the victory. But you can trust in Him. So would you put your right hand up there and get a hold of his right hand? Come on, reach up there and get a hold of his hand. And say, by the blood of Jesus, I shall overcome. And by the blood of Jesus, I shall overcome. By the blood of Jesus, I shall overcome. Say it out loud, would you? You know, the Holy Ghost is near. And it just seems like to me he wants to move on somebody's life. The Holy Ghost is near. He wants to touch somebody's life with a glorious victory. He wants to give you a triumph like you've never had. How many of you have lost some battles because you didn't trust in God like you should? Are you willing to admit that? I've lost some, Teresa. I've lost some. But I ain't losing no more. I made up my mind. Every day, sometimes 10 times a day, I'm saying, Holy Ghost, I give myself to you. I want somebody in this building who says, by the power of Jesus' name, I'm going to be an overcomer as never before. Step out of your seat and come and stand at this altar, would you? I'm going to be an overcomer as I've never been before. I want you to come down here with nothing on your mind but trust in Jesus. I'm going to be an overcomer. Visitors, come right on. Just be part of us. We treat nobody like visitors. You're part of us. You're part of us, Porter family. We love you. We will bless you the best we know how. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I'm coming, Pastor Chambers. I'm coming, Brother Chambers. I'm going to be an overcomer in Jesus' name. I've got the victory in Jesus' name. I wish somebody would shout that out. Hallelujah. I'm listening. Oh, I like that verse. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say that with me, everybody. Would you come on? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now raise your hands and cry out to him and worship him and trust him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, sir. Hallelujah.
I bow to my knees and cried, holy.
Holy, holy. Hallelujah.
I cried, holy.
Holy.
Cried, holy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I clapped
my hands.
My hands and sang glory.
Glory to the Son of God.
Glory to the Son of God.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
I bowed on
my knees.
My knees.
If you're not praying, sing that out, would you? Lord, I'm going to be yours. I'm going to be yours.
Holy.
Holy.
Pride, holy.
Holy.
I clap.
Father, work a miracle in these lives. Every person in front of me, do a Holy Ghost victory in their life. Do a Holy Ghost victory in their life. We have already won in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pride holy.
Pride holy.
Pride holy.
I clap my hands and sang glory.
Would you worship him a minute?
Glory to the Son of God.
Holy.
Pride holy.
Holy.
Pride holy.
Holy.
I
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And sing glory.
Glory to the Son of God.
Glory to the Son of God.
No, Jesus has won. He's won for you.
Holy.
Johnny, he's won for you.
Holy.
You let him have his way. Chuck, Benji, he's won for you. You got to let him have his way. You got to give him everything you are. You got to be faithful to him. Glory.
Glory to the Son of God.
Let's sing that one more time. Come on, everybody.
Bowed on my knees and cried, holy. Cried holy.
Hallelujah.
Cried holy.
Holy. Hallelujah.
I clapped my hands and sang glory.
Glory to the Son of God.
Glory to the Son of God.
Hallelujah. Do you understand?
Glory to the Son of God.
Let's say that again. Glory to the Son of God. Everybody.
Glory to the Son of God.
As soon as he gives me a voice.